You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores! Goal!
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to William Hill's League Football Podcast. On the podcast this week, Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair. Pete Farries, as always, taking you through the Championship. Gab Pushlovsky takes care of League One. Al Ross will be looking at League Two. We've got a couple of televised fixtures in the Championship as well as the international break is over, which means Championship football returns to the fold this weekend. First things first, though, it's a very warm welcome to Pete Farries. How are you, Pete?
Yeah, good afternoon. I had four gins last night, and as I'm almost 30, I now feel incredibly hungover. So, I don't really know what's happened there. I've become a wimp. I used to be able to drink with the cool kids. Now I'm honestly struggling. But looking forward to, of course, getting league football back is always a lovely treat, isn't it, after an international break. And there is some value in the Championship this week. My word, it's one of the best weeks for value I've seen in ages in the Championship. So that's great. And of course, we've got the Checkered Trade Trophy final to look forward to. So it's going to be a good week of betting, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Coventry and Oxford are involved in the Checkered Trade Trophy final. And we've got a couple of games as well to preview. Oh, by the way, Pete, there's no international break now for 150-something days, which sounds really nice, doesn't it?
It sounds like it always should.
Yeah. Although, of course, during that point, the season's going to finish, which will be an extended break, if you like.
Yeah, but that has to happen. Yes. Whereas I'm not entirely sure that international friendlies have to happen.
Correct. Let's move on to the live televised football then in the Championship this weekend, beginning with the Friday night fixture. This one kicks off at 7:45 on Friday. Derby taking on QPR, 10-11 for Derby, 5-2 the draw here. And QPR in the betting at 3-1. Now, these pair are separated by only 3 points in the Championship table. And they're sort of top and bottom, Pete, of the world's worst mini-league, if you like. Derby are 10th, and they're 9 points off the playoffs. QPR are 15th, 10 points clear of the relegation zone. It's about as a nothing game as you're going to get at this stage of the season.
I suppose this is the other thing, isn't it? These are going to start happening now. I think the international break has probably given us a watershed as to when these are going to start happening, hasn't it? I mean, it is a nothing game. But whether it's a nothing game or an everything game, an even money in a World Cup final is as good as an even money in a nothing game like this, isn't it? I really struggled with this game, generally speaking. It is a nothing match. I would certainly earn more with QPR than I would Derby. I don't know how you feel about that, Sam, but I'd certainly earn more with QPR than Derby. As much as QPR's form recently has been much better, much of that's, of course, come a Loftus Road, three of the last four games that they've won. You know, you're looking at Loftus Road form, aren't you?
Mm.
But, I mean, how can I put together an argument for Derby here then?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when it's 10-11 and 3-1, albeit obviously Derby are at home and they're higher in the table, so perhaps they have to be shorter. But yeah, I was thinking the same when I looked at this game. You have to take the form side, don't you, at 3-1 here, given the way that Derby come into this game and the fact that there's probably still a little bit of positivity surrounding QPR because they've sort of alleviated any relegation woes that they may have had, and they'll probably be feeling the more positive of the two sides going into this game, because for Derby it's been yet more managerial upheaval, and missing out on the playoffs is obviously going to leave them a little bit flat, whereas QPR may well be buoyed and they're in much better form, Pete. So I was inclined to agree with you on this one.
Yeah, I mean, one win since the 31st of January for Derby. One win. But one thing you could argue about Derby is they're going to want to start to try and show some form to try and convince some of these bigger names that they've got to stay. So Tom Ince, is he going to stay? I think it's unlikely. He's done well over the last couple of months. Will Hughes, done. I think this will be the final season that Will Hughes at Derby. So you've got quite a few big names there who, I mean, even Thorne, who's been out most of the season, even if he comes back, is he going to want to stick around? I just can't see it. So you've got all these players who who were very, very good, but are they going to want to be around? And I just think the answer is no. It's a squad that needs a full revamp, and the money that you get for Will Hughes or Tom Ince could go very much towards that full revamp. For QPR, their squad's not incredible, but they've had players play above their station, certainly under Ian Holloway. So Connor Washington's gone on to do very, very well under Ian Holloway. We know that Idrissa Seah has done very well under Ian Holloway as well. So you have got some talent in that squad, but you're absolutely right. You've got to be with the form side, especially when they hit 5 goals last time out. I know that's the world's worst away side, but still, they hit 5 goals last time out. They have been much, much better recently. They've won one of their last 5 away games. And actually, the ones they didn't win, they lost to Blackburn, who've improved. They lost to Preston, who are absolutely incredible at home. And more of them later in the podcast. And then they drew at Newcastle and Leeds. Fine.
Yeah.
Fine with that. So I think a draw here, if I'm perfectly honest, I think the 5-2 draw is the way to go about this. But if you are looking for a team to win, then draw no bet QPR is twos.
Okay.
I mean, that sounds great to me, Sam.
Yeah, I think I'd be inclined to agree with you there. Draw no bet for QPR.
2-1.
Yeah.
You know, the plus the goal is 17-20. I do actually think this is one for you both teams to score this weekend at 10-11. But no, I mean ultimately, mate, that is a definite play for me. It is not an easy game. Let's be fair. This is not an easy game because you do sometimes get traders saying, "Well, this team needs to at this stage of the season, this team needs to do this," and that doesn't necessarily mean they will. But they price them like that's a big bonus for them. But this is a game where you just go, these teams don't really need to do anything. But the value could be with QPR. But take the draw, no bet, for a little bit of a hug from mummy.
Okay. If you do like the draw on both teams to score, as Pete's mentioned there, you can combine the pair, both teams to score, and the match to finish in a draw is 130 in the betting ahead of that. Friday night fixture, Derby versus QPR. And let's move on to the live televised game on Saturday then, which does whet the appetite a little bit more. This is Reading taking on Leeds at 5:30. Reading in the betting at 6-4. The draw here is 9-4, and Leeds are in the betting at 2-1. It's 4th versus 5th. I mean, to be fair, these sides, probably this is where they're going to finish. This is probably a battle to see who finishes 4th. I don't think either are going to slip out of the playoffs at this point. I don't think either are really going to make a late rattle for automatic promotion. But it's a chance for us to see two good sides on display, Pete, and for both of them to prove their playoff credentials, if you like.
Yeah, people keep saying that the only team who could drop out of the playoffs is Sheffield Wednesday, because there's a point between them and Fulham, isn't there?
Yes.
I'm not entirely convinced that Reading
really
are completely safe. Leeds are. Their home form especially, we'll see them over the line. Leeds, Huddersfield will be in the playoffs. Brighton, Newcastle will be automatically promoted. It sounds daft, doesn't it? But let's be fair here. Fulham have got a better goal difference by 17 goals than Reading. Yeah?
Yes.
They're only 6 points behind. Also, if you look down who Reading have still got to play, they've got to go to a very much in-form Aston Villa. They obviously host Leeds United now. Blackburn have done quite well recently. They've got to go to Norwich, who are bad away but decent at home. Okay, they've got Rotherham at home, so there's 3 free points. And they end with Forest, Wigan and Burton, so you should expect them to get over the line there. But there'll be a couple of teams, possibly Forest and Burton, absolutely scrapping for their lives by that point. In contrast, Leeds have got this game against Reading. You know, they've got Brentford, who will have nothing to play for. Preston, but Preston away from home. They've got to go to Newcastle, which is tough. But they've got Wolves at home, which, no offence, could see Wolves scrapping for their lives, Sam. So too Burton. But Norwich are poor away. So Leeds are fine. I'm not entirely convinced that Reading get over the line here. And I actually would rather play Leeds than I would Reading.
Right.
In this match. Now, that might seem a little bit counterintuitive to a certain extent. For example, Reading's home form is the first reason why that would seem counterintuitive, wouldn't it? Lost just 2 games at the Medeski all season. So that, first of all, Pete, it's counterintuitive. They lost to Villa, they lost to QPR, but that's it. But I also look at some of the teams who've gone there. So Newcastle went there recently, got themselves a draw, yeah?
Yeah.
Wednesday were beaten narrowly. Huddersfield were beaten very narrowly back in September. That was mainly down to, was it Van La Parra who got sent off that day? So I kind of go, right, Brighton went there and got themselves a draw. And I kind of go, well, hang on. I know the Leeds predominantly are a home side, But their away form has seen them lose at Huddersfield, okay, at Brighton, fair enough, Barnsley, Derby, Bristol City. So there has been losses in there. But you're coming to me, someone who bets every day of his life, albeit responsibly, and you're saying to me, Pete, do you want to be with Reading, a side who've looked fundamentally like they've been getting results above and beyond their station? Now, we made fortunes on this podcast, haven't we, Sam? Fortunes on Reading this season because of their price.
Yes.
2-1s, etc., etc. But this is a 2-1 where I could actually be with Leeds. This is a 2-1 where I could be with Leeds. And that surprised me a little bit. But draw no bet Leeds is 21-20. Chris Wood, it all depends possibly on his fitness. He obviously flew back, didn't he, from international duty to be assessed. They've said it's a knock rather than something horrible. Whether he starts or not could be a big worry. 13-10 any time for him. But I look back at Leeds here and think, if Chris Wood starts, if he's fit enough to start, which people are saying he probably will be, I would rather be with Leeds than Reading here. I think Reading might start to choke a little bit. And that's a hypothesis, right? So, again, if we're looking at bare-bones facts here, and it's important I make this point, if we're looking at bare-bones facts, Leeds have won just six away games since October. So that's a bare-bones fact, right? And I appreciate that. Whereas Reading at home have won 4 in their last 6 at home and have been very decent. So, you know, I appreciate entirely, I have to make that point, that I'm taking a bit of a gut, although I drank a couple of gins last night, so maybe the gut's not brilliant. But I'm taking a gut. I actually got this bet yesterday. I'm taking a gut leap on Leeds here. Draw no bet. I would rather be with them than I would Reading, which surprised me a little bit, considering how good Reading are at home. But if I'm getting the draw no bet odds against on Leeds, I'd weirdly rather take that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Leeds. As long as Chris Wood starts.
Yes, Leeds the pick, draw no bet. Do you not feel, Pete, that Reading's victory against Sheffield Wednesday last week secured it for them?
Well, 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Before the international break.
It was big. It was a big win, and obviously Adrian Popa, I was surprised they managed to sign, scoring was a big one. But no, I don't, because I still think Fulham have got a charge on here. Now, listen, there is no question that it's Wednesday who are at the most dangerous. Of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, because there's only a point between 6th and 7th there. But also, like I say, the goal difference between Fulham and Reading is 17 goals in Fulham's favour. So you can knock that down, that 6-point gap. You can knock that down a little bit to 5, can't you? Because they've got an extra point, theoretically, from the goal difference in their pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If Reading lose this, which I think they may well do, or even draw, as much as Fulham obviously last time got themselves a draw against Leeds, Fulham have got Rotherham this weekend. So if Fulham beat Rotherham this weekend, that's a couple more points swing their way. They've got Derby, who are beatable. Who've only won, as we've just said, as we've only won once since the end of January. They've then got Ipswich, who are all over the place. Now, Villa and Norwich could provide some issues for them, no question, and so could Huddersfield. But, you know, they've got Sheffield Wednesday, last game of the season, you know, which is could be a huge game ultimately. They've got Brentford at home. So I think Fulham could certainly get in there. But I think Wednesday might be able to do enough. There's something about Reading all season. And a lot of our friends who work on In-Play Radio, I mean, this season I've spent not a games this year. I mean, obviously the last 4 or 5 years I've been commentating on games. This season I've spent not at games. And instead I've been watching matches on a Saturday or working or whatever else. And all of our friends who do still cover games, the likes of Al Ross, the likes of Mark Wilson, who work on In-Play Radio, a lot of my friends who regularly see Championship football have all, to a man and woman, said exactly the same thing, which is, I'm not convinced by Reading.
Yeah.
And every time I've seen them, I've felt the same. Now, I've gone crazy on Reading this season, let's be clear about this, because of their price at home. Because they were winning all these games, and I was getting 2-1, 27-10, 19-10 all the time. So I felt that they were worth playing all those times. But fundamentally, sometimes that catches up with you. I'm tempted a little bit by Reading not to finish in the playoffs. For example, to make playoffs, Reading are currently 1-10 on the William Hill website.
Right.
I'm not sure I'd play that.
So to summarise then, Pete, the thoughts with the live Championship football this weekend, the televised games, QPR drawing a bet and Leeds drawing a bet for yourself?
Yes, yeah, they're cowardly, I suppose, to a certain extent, aren't they, with the draw no bets in there? But yeah, I do. Those would be my picks, yeah.
Cowardly or safe and sensible, some might say.
Yeah, I think draw Derby QPR, but I kind of want the draw no bet on the side in that regard. But the draw, I think, is probably the best way to go in terms of what will happen most likely. But the pick would probably be with a bit more value on QPR draw no bet. I talked myself into that during the podcast.
Okay, very good. Let's turn our attention then to the EFL Trophy final then, which comes up at 2:30 p.m. on Sunday from Wembley. Coventry City in action against Oxford. It's 5-2 for Coventry, 12-5 for the draw, and Oxford are in the betting at 21-20. It's been a miserable season in the league for the Sky Blues, that is for sure, Pete. A lot of their home games as well have been boycotted by the fans for one reason or another, but they've already sold out their 40,000 allocation for this fixture. So this is an excellent opportunity for Coventry to put a smile back on their fans' faces in what has been a pretty bleak season. But Oxford, very much the form dogs going into this, and they are worthy favourites.
Yeah, so first of all, the allocation thing.
Mm.
Right. Now, that's been sold out. Many believe, and I will hold my hands up and say incorrectly, but I'm just saying many believe that's been sold out in order to have an on-TV protest.
Oh, right, okay.
Now, that may well not... I apologise to any Coventry fans, and there will be many who are going there to support their team. And those who are protesting, you could argue, are supporting their team as well.
Yeah.
So let's be clear about this as well. There will be many, many going. It's not like every single fan who's going, is going to be kind of, I'm only going to go crazy and to ruin things. That's not the case at all. But there will be a huge amount of that who are going in order to make a point, whether you agree or... Well, I think there'll be people who just agree with the point. Anyway, I've taken a risk there, but I'm going to go with it. Anyway, there's going to be so many people there this year, isn't there?
Yes.
I think 70,000, if you include Oxford as well. And Coventry might feel a little bit confident, of course. Don't forget, they have beaten Oxford United this season in the head-to-heads. They have been victorious over them in one game. Another reason for Coventry to maybe feel confident is that Oxford, while their form has been brilliant, and I don't want to say have been overly reliant, but recently, of course, two hat-tricks of late for Conor McElhaney, who's been absolutely incredible. He's been the man in form. He can't play in this game. He is cup-tied because, of course, he is on loan and has featured in the competition. So there's no Conor McElhaney in this game, which is interesting.
Mm.
So that may be a bit of a problem for them as well. Chris Maguire was rested midweek, who's their top goal scorer. He was rested midweek because he had an injury. He was rested because it was a small injury and they want to keep him fresh for this. But you could argue that's still a bit of an issue. However, you can't argue that Oxford to win this game at 21-20 is an issue. You just can't. Now, they might well be worth backing in the to lift the trophy rather than the 90-minute market because, of course, the lift the trophy market will arrive on the console.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's still, no, I still think that's a play. Oxford beat them in the other game. Coventry are down,
yeah,
effectively down. Oxford, of course, are still well in with a shout. Only 4 points, don't forget, although they have played a game more than Southend, but and Millwall, in fact. But there is a chance that Oxford can get into those playoffs. And we've seen it happen before, Barnsley, where you win this and then you get in and you get yourself up via the playoffs. Barnsley did it, and teams have done it before. So this is a huge, huge boost for them. Now, in terms of other markets, over 2.5 has landed in both head-to-heads, so 4-5, definitely. Both teams have scored landed in both, so 4-6, definitely. Both teams are scoring over 2.5, of course, is also a market you can play. I almost completely forgot about that, but it is. But I am all over Oxford here to win this. I really am. Coventry will be supported by their fans. They will be. But this is another opportunity to make, I'm sure for many fans, a very valid point. For Oxford, their focus is on one thing. Win this, move on to try and get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They won 5-1 the other day. And as much as Coventry's form has improved, two back-to-back games going into this, don't forget, it has improved. They beat Port Vale 1-0 in a midweek game. Sorry, 2-1, I should say. They beat Port Vale by a goal. And they beat Bristol Rovers. And Bristol Rovers, while not a phenomenal side, are a solid mid-table team who'd gone into that with 3 wins in 4. So those two things have got to be big kind of thumbs up towards Coventry's chances in this. But even though McElhinney won't be playing, Oxford hit 5. Even though, you know, you could argue some of their form hasn't been great, that came against Bolton, fair enough. Mm. Oxford, which of course comes with all the kinds of inclinations, and Oldham, which is a better result. But still, the point remains, you have to be with Oxford here, Sam. 100% hook, line and sinker. And in fact, I like Oxford and 3 or more goals in the match at 21-10.
Okay. Oxford and 3 or more goals in the game then at 21-10. The selection for Pete in that EFL Trophy final coming up from Wembley on Sunday. Thank you very much for that, Pete. We'll be hearing from Gav Puchalowski and Al Ross very shortly with their thoughts on League One and League Two this weekend. But first things first, we'll get Pete's thoughts on the remainder of the Championship and his best bets for the weekend.
Let's start then with Brentford against Bristol City, and arguably Griffin Park's one of the grounds I've been to least on this podcast this season. Brentford at the time of recording 5-4, the draw 11-4, Bristol City in the market at 2s. So which way would you go here? Well, for me, Brentford are actually quite a good play. Now, admittedly, their most recent form is just 2 wins from their last 5. They won away at Forest and they won away, of course, at Burton in that crazy 5-3. They drew with Ipswich Town, they lost to Huddersfield, I think we'd all agree fair enough, and they lost to Wolves in what was a very disappointing performance all round. They could have been beaten by 3, 4, 5 that day, really. For Bristol City, well, their most recent form, just 1 loss in 5, 2 draws and 2 wins, well, that's going to save them, really. They've flown up the table, having taken those 8 points from 4 games. They are more than likely now safe in the Championship. It did not look for a long time like that would be the case. But they've won just 1 away game since the 24th of September. They won at Fulham, and then since then, they won 1-0, last time out, albeit, to Wigan. 88th minute Aidan Flint winner. That is not the kind of form that I think should really mean your money is with Bristol City. At home, Brentford, yes, have lost the last two, the Huddersfield and Wolves games. And to be fair, they've been Johnny inconsistent this season. Maybe not quite like an Ipswich, but certainly on the same path. Overs on the goals is an absolutely definite play, and I mean a definite play here at 4-6. It might seem a bit short, but it's landed in 4 of the last 5 Brentford home games, and in terms of Bristol City away games, it's landed in 3 of their last 5 as well. 4-6 is definitely good enough, but I'm going to go with Brentford here at 5-4. I think Bristol City's away form, just 1 win since September, is nowhere near good enough for me to want to have a single penny with Lee Johnson's men. Now, in terms of goal scorers, Hutter has, of course, been in very, very good form of late. Scored last time out in that 5-3 over Burton, scored against Forest, the hat-trick against Rotherham, the goal against Reading, the goal against Brighton. He is playing very, very well indeed. And 7 goals in 10 games mean that the Spaniard is unsurprisingly joint fav in the market with Lasse Weber. 5-4 any time for Hutter looks very good. But overs is a play, Hutter is a play, but Bristol City's away form, despite their big improvement recently, is not to be trusted. Brentford at 5-4, the first place on the podcast, the first place in the Championship, I think, you should stop this weekend. Until the end of February, 2017 felt like it might end like 2016's season did, i.e. with a relegation for Villa. They were flying down the table, there seemed to be absolutely no way of stopping it, but the 1-0 win over Derby was the first of 5 wins from their last 6 games that has absolutely cemented Aston Villa as a Championship side for next season, albeit, of course, they would have wanted a great deal more. This weekend, Aston Villa, well, they're in action against Norwich. 13-10 Villa, the draw 12-5, 11-5 should you want to back Norwich, but there is no doubt for me the home side here are the play. Norwich's form has not been good. They've not been losing games, but it's not been good. But away from home again is a point you really have to look at. 1 win since October away from Carrow Road. That win as well came against Cardiff City, 1-0 victory, for which, you know, they deserve a bit of credit. Cardiff is not easy. But how can you back Norwich here? That's the question you've got to ask yourself. Because Aston Villa, 5 wins from 6, 3 wins in a row at home to nil, beating Derby, beating Sheffield Wednesday, and, okay, beating a Bristol City side they should be beating. But Villa's form is ultimately absolutely exemplary. It is as simple as that. Their form at the moment is very, very, very good. The only team, of course, within that last six games to beat Aston Villa as well, I should mention, was a loss away at Huddersfield Town. Again, as we said earlier on, we can all say that's absolutely fair enough. So to get odds against on Aston Villa, something that maybe hasn't been attractive through huge swathes of the season, is certainly attractive now. Now, Jonathan Kudjia has 15 goals this season and has been absolutely incredible. Six goals in his last 10 games, was of course not available for the Cote d'Ivoire's game against Senegal as well, which means he's nice and rested. He is a man who is absolutely worth your money odds against at 6-5 this weekend. His form is good, his fitness will be good as well. He is a man who will be around and I think scoring goals. If you want more evidence, well, just look at his most recent form at home. The brace that beat Sheffield Wednesday, scored against Bristol City, 3 goals in 2 games at home. That'll do me nicely. In terms of how it happens, well, I'm not entirely sure I'd want to play the 10-0 market. Norwich do score goals to their credit, and the handicap market does seem a little bit strong. Minus a goal at 17-5 could be a play, but I'm not entirely sure I'd be desperate to play it. Villa to score 2 goals, though, would certainly be the way that I do look at this if you're looking for an auxiliary market here. They've been playing really, really well of late, and as I've mentioned, have been scoring a few goals. For example, the 2 they hit past Sheffield Wednesday, the 2 they hit past Bristol City, and going further back, they went 2-0 away at Rotherham, 2-0 away against Wigan Athletic. They've scored 2 goals in 4 of their last 5 games. So for Aston Villa to score over 1.5 match goals, 11-8 seems decent. But there's no question, no argument, and no debate for me that in this game, you don't back Norwich away from home. And perhaps we're seeing signs of Villa who might well be dangerous next season because they've not been great this. On the outright, Aston Villa, odds against, definitely a play for me. The job Simon Grayson continues to do at Preston, finally, is what absolutely amazes me. For them to be 9th in the league with the financial, I was going to say constraints, but that's not fair, but with the small budget in relation to some clubs in this league, Simon Grayson has done a phenomenal job and deserves a huge, huge, huge amount of credit. You can, of course, take some of your own credit this week by backing Preston at even money to beat Nottingham Forest. Preston have won 5 of their last 6 home games. Preston have been scoring goals, 2 past Brighton in a great victory over the Seagulls, of course, 4 past Brentford, 2 past Birmingham and QPR, and then 3 past Reading a couple of weekends ago. Absolutely incredible form for Preston at Deepdale. For Forest, yeah, not so good away from home. Just back-to-back away wins in November. Their only victories on the road this season. There is no doubt, no even inkling of negativity for me about Preston at even money. They may not be even money by the time you listen to this. They may not be even money, in fact they probably won't be, by 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Either way, Preston are 100% backable here. Their home form is brilliant. They are a very good side. They're scoring goals. As I say, it's a simple argument for my nap of the week this week, Preston, because quite frankly, everything is going their way. Now, we mentioned the over 1.5 for Villa, and that, of course, is something that's been landing an awful lot for Preston recently. Even money in this game for Preston to win the over 1.5 match goals, landed in 5 of their last 6 games. They are absolutely tearing it up at the moment. They are a very, very good side and should be backed in every way, shape and form that you can find them to be backed in. Now, Tom Barkhuizen has done well recently, bragged himself a couple of goals the other day, is 13-10. Callum Robinson's been scoring well, 9-5 anytime. Daniel Johnson is always worth considering at 12-5 anytime as well. There are 5 or 6 goal scorers. There are lots of ways that Preston could do it, but ultimately for me, Preston do it. Without question, as much as I love Villa and as much as I think Brentford are a cracking shout, this week's nap was an immediate and easy answer. My nap of the week is Preston North End at even money. I think it's a corker. Whatever you're backing, very best of luck.
So we're at the business end of the season, as they say, and here are my 3 favourite bets for League One this weekend, starting with my nap selection, which is Bolton against Chesterfield. Bolton looking to close the gap on Sheffield United, who don't play this weekend. Bolton do. The gap between the top two is back to 7 points, and Bolton can close that once more with 3 points against the Spirites in the hunt for the title. And I think they beat Chesterfield, a Chesterfield side who are struggling, doomed, relegation bound, not playing under Gary Caldwell. The fans are not a big fan of Gary Caldwell either. He's criticising the players in public. Add it all up and Chesterfield going one way and that is down. And I don't think they have any answer for Bolton. Bolton's price, having said that, at 1-3 at home is too short. Bolton away from home, 4 wins in 4, scoring plenty. At home, 1 win in 3. You are more likely to get points from Bolton at Bolton. Having said all that, I think this rampant Bolton side will have too much for Chesterfield, and I think Bolton -1, which is my NAP selection, is a play at 19-20. Anytime goal scores for Bolton. The centre halves are being prolific at the moment, scoring plenty. David Wheata and Mark Beavers, both of them 4-1. Anytime, it has to be a play. My second bet involves Southend at home to Oldham. Southend looking to cement their playoff place. They're sixth at the moment in the table. And they're buoyed by the fact that Millwall could have closed that gap midweek, but Millwall lost at the Blade. Southend 4-5 is a play for me. I don't know whether it's going to be unders. I don't know whether it's going to be overs. I say that because Oldham are normally an unders side. Away from home in their last 7 games, Oldham only one has been over 2.5 goals. Interestingly, though, that Oldham don't score plenty away from home, but when they do score, they tend to score first. And Southend, when they concede at home, 3 of the last 4 games in which they've conceded at home, Southend have conceded the first goal. So if this is going to be overs, if this is going to be both teams to score, have a look at Southend to come from behind and win or draw. Southend at home, their form is good. There's only the Blades who have gone there and won of late. They beat Rochdale, beat Scunthorpe, beat Walsall, drew with Northampton and Port Vale, which are disappointing results. But I think Southend have got enough firepower to get past Oldham, so I'm playing them at 4-5 to beat the Latics. My third and final bet involves Bradford versus Walsall. Bradford too short for me at 6-10. Yes, they've been going great at the moment, winning plenty of games, although they lost away at Scunthorpe 3-2 somehow. I thought Bradford had enough about them to win that game, watching it, but they didn't. But that's the thing with Bradford. Goals, goals and goals at the moment. Over 2.5 goals landing plenty. And I much prefer to play that than I do Bradford to win at 6-10. Bradford's form at home is very good. Still unbeaten, but quite simply too many draws. Bradford have only won 2 of the last 6 at home, having drawn 4. But when they do draw at home, it's a high-scoring draw. 2-2 against Gillingham, 2-2 against Bolton and 2-2 against MK Dons. And last time, Walsall took a trip to this part of the world. They did draw 3-3 away at Bury. Walsall have actually drawn 4 of their last 7 away from home. But I think this is going to be over 2.5 goals. I think you've got a Bradford side who are more on the front foot these days than they were a couple of months ago, and they're looking to cement their playoff place. So if you like Bradford, OK, you can play them at 6-10. They're too short for me, but I really like over 2.5 goals at 23-20. Between Bradford and Walsall. Over 2.5 goals at the home of Bradford has actually landed in 4 of 5 at the Coral Window Stadium. So that's my play in this game. So my three bets for League One this weekend. My NAP selection, Bolton -1 against Chesterfield at 19-20. Southend to beat Oldham at 4-5. And Bradford versus Walsall over 2.5 goals at 23-20. It is just over 6-1.
There are 4 teams in League 2 who are dropping like a stone at the moment. 2 of them, Cheltenham and Morecambe, are playing each other. The other 2, Carlisle and Leighton Orient, are on the list of teams who need to be opposed, and Orient are the most obvious. The winding up petition's been adjourned until June, but their march towards relegation hasn't. They've conceded at least 3 in each of their last 4 matches, 15 goals shipped in total, and scored just the once. Losing to Doncaster and to Accrington is one thing, but getting a spanking at Crawley is another. 3 goals in the first 32 minutes, and that game last week was done. It pains me to make money off such a miserable time for the club, and it also pains me to back an odds-on price away from home. But Leighton Orient have played 7 home games in 2017. They have lost all 7, scoring 5, conceding 17. Now, Wickham are decent. They're not world beaters. They don't really have to be. They went off the boil after that amazing cup run in which they were eventually beaten 4-3 by Spurs. It's now a run of one defeat in six. They're back on it again. They are struggling to win at home, though they were unlucky to lose despite being the better team against Notts County last week. And actually, draws against Doncaster and Blackpool are not bad results. Plus, away from home, they're much better. They've won the last two away and they've got a gap of just 4 points back up to the playoff places. So I can't see them slipping up at Orient at 10-11. Yeovil are a bit like Wickham in many respects. The difference is, if there's one thing that Yeovil love, it's a draw. Seven of those in the last 10. But what wouldn't Carlisle give for a draw right now? They were never outside the top three between October and early March. They're now eighth and they are falling. Six defeats in seven. They have not scored in that run. The only non-defeat was a 0-0 with Luton. Charlie Wyke's departure has Carlisle devoid of attacking prowess. It has been 11 and a half hours of football since they scored. Yeovil hit three against Exeter last week and they did throw it away late on. They conceded three goals in 238 seconds after the 88th minute. Ouch. Still, nine goals scored in four. The 0-0 against Luton was Carlisle's only League Two clean sheet since October, so I can't see they'll shut Yeovil out. And if Carlisle concede and they don't score, as has happened in six of their last seven, then why are Yeovil the outsiders of these two prices? I'm not kidding here. Carlisle away, 13-8. Yeovil at home, 8-5. Take that. Keep an eye on Exeter as well. They've lost that wonderful knack of winning on the road from the early season, but that comeback last week at Yeovil could be a real spur. And a bigger than 2-1 at Mansfield, that really interests. Mansfield may have won the last two, but they were against the awfully out of sorts Morecambe and against Carlisle. Anyway, if you think that 8-5 on Yeovil is going to be this week's outside price, you are wrong. It's going to be Blackpool at 11-5 at Luton, which will make a near 20-1 treble. Were the season to end today, this would be a playoff semi-final with both teams locked on 60 points and Blackpool only two goal difference better off. The table has them level pegging, the form does not. Luton have only won once in nine matches since Valentine's Day. They're also on a five-game winless run and, as mentioned, are the only team Carlisle have taken a point off in the Cumbrians' last seven. Blackpool haven't lost since Valentine's Day. Their current run of five wins in six contains notable scalps too, a 3-0 win at Plymouth and a 1-0 win over Stevenage. And frankly, that was the coronation of the new form team of League Two, the day they took over from Stevenage as the mantle of the team to watch. Luton at near even money is frankly crazy talk. You've got to be backing the away side. Despite playing Orient, my conscience is struggling slightly with letting me put an odds on price away from home as my nap this week. But frankly, I'm afraid it has to be Wickham 10-11. And the treble, Wickham, Yeovil and Blackpool pays 19.88-1.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.